Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm really glad to see you all here today. It's come to my attention that there's some sort of sports ball thing happening later today. But Pittsburgh's not in it, so it doesn't really matter. So I did also want to tell you that I spoke with Kathy Enriato earlier this week. She is on course to go home on Tuesday. She wants to say thank you to everyone for all of the cards, calls, prayers, and well wishes. She's doing really well, so she wanted to make sure that I said thank you. She gave her thanks out to all of you. Also, I wanted to let you know that we are in some plans for Ash Wednesday and Lent and Maundy Thursday, and we'll give all that information out to you as soon as everything is finalized, because that's coming up quick. All right. Are there any other announcements? Anything I should? Okay. With that, let us quiet our hearts and minds, gather, and proclaim our readiness to worship God. Our hope is in God all of our lives. God is a rock of refuge, a fortress against threat and shame. God has held us since our birth, so we are never in the full grasp of the unjust and cruel. In love, God saves and supports us. Trusting in God, we continually offer our praise. Let us rise, embody your spirit, and join in our opening hymn. My faith looks up to thee. Let us confess our sins as an offering of our trust in God's love and forgiveness. God of love, we admit to you and to each other that we have not always lived lives of love. We have lost patience and been rude. We have been irritable and insisted on our own way. We have even let love end. Forgive us and heal us, dear God. Through Jesus Christ, your love incarnate. Amen. Hear the good news. By the grace of Christ, God forgives us in love. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet each other with signs of peace.
Oh,
Let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy. Please pray with me. God of all goodness, we live in times of stress and controversy, injustice and cruelty. At times we cry to you for rescue and remember that we have leaned on you since our birth. We pray for our leaders and nations around the world, especially for the situation with Russia, that we may seek justice and peace. We pray for your church in all its forms, that we may be the love you want. We pray for the victims of violence, both at home and throughout the world. Grant your healing and give us your peace. We pray for all of those who are ill or suffering in body or spirit. May they feel the comfort of your love. We pray in thanksgiving for those prayers you have heard and answered. Help us to recognize your voice in intercession. God of wisdom, enable us to be humble and kind in all things. Remind us that whatever the issue, today we only know in part. And even now, faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. Help us to be like you, love, through Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our hymn of meditation, As the Deer. be seated. We've come to the time in our service where in joyful thanksgiving for all that we've been given, we now return to God our tithes and offerings in order that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. These gifts that we have given as expressions of our love for you and our neighbors, that they may bring closer fulfillment of your reign of peace and love through Jesus Christ, our sovereign. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortal and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophesied powers, prophetic powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease as the knowledge. It will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the end to the childish ways. Not really. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now my faith, hope, and love abide in these three. And the greatest of these is love. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. Spirit of life and God of love, open our hearts and enter in, that hearing your word of love, we may become your love for others. Amen. I found this passage from Paul to be particularly apropos for this week. I even moved some things around in the lectionary to make sure that we got to it during Valentine's Day. Paul's talking about love, after all. I have a bit of a confession to make. I'm a little cynical about Valentine's Day, and to be honest, probably romantic love in general. Don't get me wrong, I'm always down to celebrate with a fun holiday theme, and I'm in awe of couples who are celebrating those milestone anniversaries. I also enjoy handmade Valentine's cards. I can't resist a good craft. I often exchange cards and other tokens of appreciation with my family and close friends. But all that cheesy, lovey-dovey, romantic stuff, ugh, just leaves me a little nauseated. We're all familiar with this passage. I'm confident in saying that we've all been to a wedding ceremony that includes this passage. I've even been to some secular weddings where a version of this scripture was read. And it's so familiar, both within and outside of the Christian church, that we think we know what the words mean, and we kind of gloss over it, right? Love is patient, love is kind, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Paul isn't talking about romantic love here. He's not even talking about familial love or the type of love that's shared between friends. Paul is talking about agape. It's this deep, unconditional, life-living love of God. The love that's embodied most visibly in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This love isn't exactly a feeling, but it's more of an action. Agape seeks the good of the one who is loved, not its own good. Paul is truly telling us something about God through this letter to the Corinthians. These words arose out of a pastoral crisis in the church of Corinth. I know this church has never experienced anything even remotely similar, so let's just put on our imagination caps and, you know, just for a minute, and we'll sort of go through this. The Corinthians were abusing their freedoms. They were refusing to share. They were putting down their neighbor's gifts while boasting about their own. People were seeking recognition for themselves, even jockeying for like position in the church. The problem wasn't a lack of spiritual gifts. It was the ways in which those gifts were exercised. I'm just thankful to be part of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, where we are perfect, and I'm obviously preaching to the choir here, so. Back in chapter 12 of Corinthians, Paul tells us that all spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit of God. Some people have, you know, been given wisdom, while others have been gifted with healing. Some discern spirits, while others speak in tongues. Paul likens the church to a body of different parts, like a foot or a head or a hand or an eye. And he's saying that the church can't rely exclusively on just one gift. There isn't one gift that's better than another. When we get to chapter 13, Paul lists those gifts the Corinthians were the most proud of. And with each of those gifts, he provides a caveat, but if you don't have love, those gifts are meaningless. It might seem like Paul is saying that love is the highest ranking virtue, maybe even something that we can try to perfect. I mean, that's not quite where he's going. Rather, Paul is saying that love exceeds all of the gifts because love is the source of our gifts. Love is what makes our gifts, our words, and our actions mean something. Whatever you're doing, if you're not doing it out of love, it's nothing. So Paul goes on to describe what love is and is not. Because God is love, we can maybe insert the name of Jesus in front of each of the characteristics. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not envious or boastful or rude. I got to thinking about this and like, so how do I rate in this? So I tried to put my name in front of some of these things. Kristen is patient. Kristen is kind. I mean, I try to be, but you know what? It's really hard to be kind to someone who's not very kind to themselves. Kristen is not envious. I don't know, it should be, sure would be nice to have the musical talents of Mickey or the financial savvy of Ginny and Carol. Instead, I've got this standing up and talking in front of people thing. Kristen does not insist on her own way. I mean, I was raised as an only child, and I've been living by myself for a really long time, and I like having things my own way. This part of the passage is Paul's way to call the Corinthians to account for their behavior. Much like me, everything he says love is, they are not. Everything he says love is not, they are. I can just imagine the gasps of shock and anger and the murmurs of who's this guy think he is going on throughout the church. It's not only the church in Corinth that needs to look at the less than positive sides of their community. None of us reaches the heights of love that Paul describes. We all have room to grow, and that's normal because the standard is set by God and made real by Christ. The church is full of diverse people and theological viewpoints and programs and ministries, and most of the time there's room in the church for that diversity to coexist peacefully. But when our resources become scarce, our time, our money, our space, when those resources become scarce, our tensions rise. And we humans have a nasty habit of being rash and insensitive during times of tense situations. Social and cultural concerns tend to press in on our churches especially hard. People become really passionate about all these things. We've certainly seen that happen in this pandemic and over the last 2 years. It's likely that we have the best of intentions when we insist upon our own ways. But Christians have this special gift of cloaking self-interest in self-righteousness. We just know what's right and wrong. This isn't usually my style, but I'm going to be a little bit convicting here. There are just some things that are more important than being right, or powerful, or honored. If those of us within the church don't do what we do in a spirit of love, whether we're inside this building or outside of the walls, then all of our religious talk, all of our knowledge, our piety, sacrificial giving, that adds up to nothing. Without love, we are noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. And when we wonder why people are leaving the church, why there is less involvement in our country and throughout the world, this is honestly one of the biggest reasons why. We're so concerned with being right that we don't fully listen or adequately care for the people that have been deeply wounded by the church and by those self-professed Christians. If we think we have gained anything by standing on principle, dominating others, and being right, we've lost the point. And with it, everything else. To belong in God's church is to be an agent of God's love in the world, not seeking our own advantage, but working on behalf of others. Got a little worked up there. The passage ends with a picture of love's endurance. Every spiritual gift that we have will end. All monuments that we create will crumble. Even human life that we know it will end. But here, now, in this life, we are given the opportunity to grow in love from childhood to adulthood and into full spiritual maturity. I think there's a beautiful irony in the fact that the one thing that lasts forever is the love that is given away. We may not be able to make complete sense of all our experiences in this world, but we can trust in the permanence and persistence of God's love lived and experienced in human life. In Christ, believers are known and chosen by divine love. In an anxious world that just grasps for the permanent, the eternal is given through the experience of love. The faithful life is the one that gives testimony in the world, that gives testimony in word and deed to the primacy of love, the character of love, the endurance of love. Because God knows this world is broken and crazy. And God knows that what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise for our closing hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. Before we leave from this place, let me offer you a blessing. May the love of God help you to bear all things. May the love of Christ enable you to believe all things. May the love of the Holy Spirit inspire you to hope all things, so that you abide in faith, hope, and love this day and forever.